Hey guys, I'm Tom Walker and welcome to the second episode of Van Chats. Today I'm speaking to Clay Weston, a musician from Denmark, about drawing inspiration for music, the impact of surf on life, pushing your comfort zone and being true to yourself. I hope you enjoy it.
Who has been your biggest influence?
It sort of changed over the course of the last few years. So when I first sort of started writing music and started really stylistically trying to find a direction, I was listening to a lot of folk. It's like Ziggy Alberts and Ben Howard. And I sort of followed that for a while and I was really enjoying it. But I watched a few live shows and it was really good. It was like really amazing, really insightful into their lives and the way they can sort of manipulate music in one way. But more recently, I've been been sort of changing and listening to a lot more sort of surfy rock and sort of like indie music. So sort of like bands like Caravan of Sun, Sticky Fingers, Ocean Alley and stuff.
Yeah.
Because a bit more of a dynamic show, and like I think music is about entertaining. So if you get the live show right and you can sort of reach bigger audiences through that way and have fun yourself and get a lot of energy out of your performance, I think.
Yep. There's been many...
Music's one of those things always changing and always evolving, yep. And the sounds and what music is about at the time, and I feel direction for me, I sort of being a surfer and sort of being like a more energetic person, I sort of drifted into that sort of more energetic direction for myself and just like for what I see is the future of what I could do. Yeah. And
There's been many artists that have credited one certain gig to being kind of their foot in the door into the industry, the one that exponentially led on to much more different performances and stuff. What would you say was your foot into the door?
So about 2 years ago, a band was touring through the southwest and Western Australia, and they came to Denmark. They were Caravan of Sun, and I met them surfing. So Ocean Beach was really stormy day, and I was like only us out, and I was like sort of got chatting to them, didn't really know who they were, and went to their gig that night. I hadn't seen them before, and just got chatting to them from there after the gig, and like added them on like social media and stuff, and just kept talking to them. And next time they came around, they sort of offered me a support slot for their gig in Denmark, and I was only 17 at the time. I couldn't even wasn't even legally allowed to be in the venue, but I had my parents with me, obviously. But that was probably the first gig I sort of saw like people were willing to put a little bit of time into me and see a little bit of potential in me that I should, like, it might be a direction I should go in. When you have that support from older people, especially people who have developed themselves through the industry and have been in it for a long time, they see you as being potential for the future. Yeah. I think that's a good incentive to pursue something a little bit more. So if there wasn't sort of that initial sort of interest from the get-go from other people, yeah, I probably wouldn't have seen at the time a direction and like a sort of like incentive to go in the music pathway, because at that time I was 16, and it's one of those times where you're sort of going into upper school and you're sort of like being thrown into all these different situations like ATAR and stuff, and like a real direction into what your future's gonna be, like stuff like what you want to do at university and stuff, like what you're going to do to set up the, like, sounds crazy, but the rest of your life pretty much. And it's like,
it's crazy that at such a young age, your whole life is pretty much, you have to decide there when you're still having to ask to go to the toilet in the classroom. It's
crazy, yeah. And like, I was so confused at that time, and I was like, oh, what do I want to do? And having that sort of first connection with the music industry and like the support around it, I never hadn't before that gig really gave it too much thought. I was like, sure, music will be a fun hobby, but where could it actually take me? I like, and having that, like, seeing what other people had done with it and seeing what other people, like, had they made a good living and, like, seen, traveled the world through their music and, like, it's, like, just another way that I can sort of be, sort of reach, can influence my future. So I was like, may as well take the opportunity, may as well take it to that next step.
For sure, for sure. So you said you met them out in the surf there. That's actually a bit of backstory. That's where Clay and I first met each other. I was out in the surf there at Ocean Beach. Growing up with such perfect waves, essentially, at your doorstep down there, what was, like, your best ever surf session? And what does the ocean mean to you?
So first, I've sort of been, obviously, growing up in Denmark, I've sort of, like, been around the ocean my whole life since I was born there. Started surfing when I was about 3 or 4, just getting pushed into waves. And so surfing sort of for me is like not even like a separate lifestyle from my life. It's like, is my life. So
just wake up, go for a surf. All parts of your life, hey?
Exactly. You go to school, you come home, go for a surf. On the weekend, wake up, have some breakfast, go to the surf. It's like eat, sleep, surf. Like, it's sort of one of those things which is so addictive. Like, you sort of start and you can't stop.
You can't imagine a life without it, hey?
Exactly. And I think it's just the ocean, like, it's like, I think once you sort of got that connection, you sort of find yourself drifting towards it wherever you go. Like, I come to Perth and I stay with, like, family and that, and they live inland. I don't stay there much. I end up just drifting towards, like, going to Frio and, like, going swimming at least. Like, so I think, yeah, for me, it's just a, it's like another way of life, like another part of my life, which is sort of like a given almost.
Yeah.
Just having that. It's sort of like best surf session I'd have. It's so tough because, like I said, it's not perfect waves, but like you've always got that opportunity to like have a good surf. So maybe like a memorable one would be when I was about 13 and there was this like massive swell roll through, and not sure if any of listeners have been to the to Denmark, but they opened the bar every year, and it was like the first time in about 20 years it actually like properly broken.
Yeah, for the people who don't know what that means, what is opening the bar?
So
many listeners might not have been to Denmark, so what?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about Denmark and what's the bar opening do?
So essentially Denmark, the town of Denmark lies on an inlet, so like a big body of water. And on one side, it sort of connects to the ocean, but during the drier times of the year, it closes up. And
the big sandbars formed, and you can walk across the river, essentially.
Yeah, essentially. And so as like the rain, as sort of winter rolls in and you sort of, as winter rolls in and like more rain comes about, and the inlet fills up, and so it gets to the point where it's like sometimes covering the road, and like so the only way to get the water out is to open the sandbar, like dig the sandbar out by diggers and stuff.
You're 13, that happened, and
I was 13, and like, it was one of those times, it was like, I was like sort of just coming out of sort of like being a young surfer and sort of going to that next level where people are trying to push you to charge a little bit harder and like trying to get you out in the bigger stuff. And It was like one of those freaks where you just get out of nowhere and it's like sort of all the things line up and it turns out really like the conditions just on. Like I was a bit tentative to go out and I ended up going out and I didn't get many waves, but the significance of that
it's been the first time you really pushed outside of your comfort zone down there.
Exactly. Yeah. And the significance of the whole event for like the surfing community down there. It was sort of like a time with like, you know, this is like going to that next level. This is a sort of get that bit more meaning out of surfing. You get that bit more of a rush. And it was sort of like my first taste of like bigger waves and like being out there when the conditions aren't sort of to your sort of what you'd prefer, like what you sort of are comfortable with. So pushing your comfort zones. And it wasn't the best surf I've had, but in terms of like what it did for me, it was pretty, yeah, really distinct sort of moment of my surfing career. But obviously I've had perfect surfs, like where you just go out and it's crystal clear and like no wind and it's just perfect. But sometimes the conditions, you don't want the conditions to be in your favor. You want to be like on the edge of like your comfort level or even a bit out of your comfort level so you push yourself a little bit further and sort of progress a bit more.
For sure.
But, yeah.
Have you got any advice for young musicians wanting to make a career out of their passion?
I think the best thing is just have a go, like, and get out and start playing a few gigs, start like sharing your music and really just really believing in yourself, because I think a lot of the time music and writing is one of those things that it's really hard to come out of your shell at the start, especially when you might not have the support that you may do further down the track. You might not have the following, you might not have the people looking at you, you might not have the people going, wow, your music's amazing at the start. And as a musician, you're always your biggest critic, like, and as a creative as well, I show yourself with your photography and like what you do, you're your own biggest critic. And, and like you'll notice every mistake, but no, like the average person won't.
Yeah.
So I think just getting past that initial sort of like being scared and just
to put it out there, really.
Yeah, exactly. Like same thing with surfing, you just gotta take it beyond your comfort level.
Yep.
And like just go for it really, and have a lot of fun with it as well.
Yeah.
Like I think a lot of time people get a bit caught up in like making it so serious when you just gotta step back sometimes and just like go, look, this is, I'm so great, like so lucky to be able to do this. I'm so lucky to be able to write music, so lucky to be able to play music to, to 50, 100 people, 10 people. You're still connecting with people and just like, you're really, it all makes a difference. Like, so I think, just going and doing it and not caring.
Yeah.
I think, cause like the first time you perform, you're always like, oh, I'm so scared. Oh. And after that first sort of 2 or 3 gigs, you sort of get in the zone like, why am I scared? Like, it's nothing to be scared about. It's just about going out there and giving it your all and just being passionate. I think the best thing, and people watching gigs pick up, is if there's someone passionately playing. They might not get it 100% all the time, but there's someone just standing there and playing it note for note, word for word, no mistakes, but not really putting themselves into it. I think you can really notice that. And so being passionate is probably like, for me, the number one thing.
Just show that love through your love for music can really just be shown through your way you perform.
Exactly. And just like getting over that first initial things like, oh, what are people gonna think of me? Like, that should be the last thing, because as long as you're comfortable with yourself, then it shouldn't shouldn't matter what other people think. And like, if you're comfortable with yourself and what you're doing, then everyone else will be comfortable with that. People see comfort on stage as like confidence, I suppose. And it, if you're not comfortable with yourself on stage, they sort of like, people pick up on that. So it's all right not to be confident, but you got to be like comfortable in what, in your appearance and what you're playing and just being yourself sort of thing. So yeah. I find, yeah, so like, just do what feels right for you. Like, just being yourself. I think that's, creativity is about being yourself, not trying to imitate other things. So being yourself is probably the number one thing, actually, now I think about it. Like,
that's your ultimate advice, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Be yourself, don't be fake, just,
yeah. I think for a life, like, it's, you're not trying to live anyone else's life, you're trying to live your own life, and yeah. Being yourself is the only way you can really fulfill that. Yeah. I find, but everyone's different, I suppose. So,
so what would be the biggest mistake you've seen other young musicians do? What's
I think probably get too ahead of yourself. So, I said before about, you know, committing to yourself and being yourself and, like, pursuing it and making yourself comfortable. But I think too much comfort can kill you. And, like, people, probably, like, arrogance, I guess. So, like, people get a bit cocky, a bit arrogant, and they sort of know they're good. You sort of got to step back and like, man, I'm not that good right now. I got to work hard and be humble about it. So I think I've seen like young musicians like 13, 14 go like, yeah, we're sick. Like, and it's sort of good for their confidence. But when you know it's like, they're really serious about it, I suppose. Like,
yeah.
You see, it sort of changes the vibe and people pick up on that. So if you get too ahead of yourself and like think you're a legend when you're not, you might be really good, but you're a legend. But I think getting too ahead of yourself is probably the worst thing that can happen, because it sort of become a person that you're not. Yeah. And you see it in so many things. You see it in like so many industries. You see kids who have sort of grown up with the spotlight on them, and they've sort of like get to a certain age and they almost burn out because it's like pressure of maintaining an image that might not be your own.
Yeah.
If you sort of like get too ahead of yourself too quickly, it's sort of going to catch up on you.
Yeah. 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 Is there any have you got any regrets so far or missed opportunities or?
Not really. I've probably stuff like not applying for certain gigs or not putting enough time into like searching for gigs, I suppose, and that's probably not a regret. It's probably just like stuff I should have done to get more gigs, I suppose. Like being young, there's no rush to do things. I think it's all about taking your time, and when you're comfortable with where you're going and going in the right direction at the right pace.
Yep.
So I think if no real regrets, sort of just things I probably could have done but I didn't, and not really regrets, just like things that I should have probably done, and
alright. Where do you see music culture in 10 years and how it will affect other areas of life?
I think that's a really good question. Like, music, I think through the years has been sort of a voice for so many issues going on within society, and I feel like for the last few years I've really been enthralled in the music industry. I've sort of seen a real rise in that sort of direction of music with a meaning, I guess. So I find you might go to a folk concert and they're talking about the environment, they're talking about the sea, and then you might go to like a surfy ska concert and they'll have similar meaning, similar directions they're sort of aiming to and opinions they're getting across, but in different ways. So I think in that sense, in the next 10 years, I think there's going to be a lot more activism.
Yeah.
That's probably not even a word. Like, people being really passionate about things that are going on. I think the last year or so, there's been a lot more talk about different people and different subcultures not really getting the exposure they need. I think there's going to be a lot more diversity within the industry in the next 5 to 10 years. Even, I think, really soon, there's going to be some really, really amazing stuff going on. Like, typically the industry has been male dominated. Like, I'll own up to that. And I'm not saying that males should be like not in the industry. I think just giving more voice to other artists and other musicians and other creatives that.
So I think we're going to see a real increase in female musicians starting to break out.
And not just female, like, or like the other subjects like LGBTQ and stuff like that. I think the diversity within the industry is going to change, and it's going to be, I think it's obviously for the better. It's going to be really amazing. Like, in the Perth scene at the moment, I haven't really spent too much time up here, but when I do spend a lot of time up here, I do notice the amount of different acts and the different genres and styles being played, and the people playing them are so diverse and so amazing. I think the best thing is to have that diversity, and it inspires other people, and you see a real progression in the type of music being played, the emotion being put into it, and then the crowds that they're I think once sort of everyone's on the right level, everyone's there for the same reason. Everyone's there to have a fun time. Everyone's there to have a good time, to have fun and hang out with their friends and listen to good music. And I think the next 10 years is really going to see a lot more positive energy within the music, because there's been so much hidden, I suppose, and over the years. I think once everything's sort of uncovered, everything's going to be a lot more diverse, a lot more happy, and a lot more positive, I think.
Yeah. All right. What are your next moves? What are you up to now? What's the plan for the foreseeable future?
So, next week, I'm driving over to Sydney, doing some recording my debut EP. So, should be interesting. First time in a proper studio, working with some really amazing people. Luke Carra from Caravan of Sun. he's my producer, as well as another producer/engineer, Ian Pritchard, who's worked with Kim Churchill, Angus and Julia Stone, The Beautiful Girls. It's going to be really interesting. I've sort of been working on a new, different sort of direction in my music, as I was talking about before, being more heavily influenced by the surfy, sort of poppy, almost bands, which I am friends with and sort of like go see more regularly now. So it's, from what I've shared on like socials in the past, it's going to be a little bit different. I haven't really posted that much on what I've been doing. I've sort of been taking a lot of time off and writing, just getting that, the creative side of it right. But the production side should be pretty interesting. It's going to be muck around with a few things and play with, have a full band backing, so that should be fun over there as well. I'm going to try line up a few gigs around Cronulla and maybe head up to Byron and cruise around for a bit, even busk and stuff. There's so many different avenues to get your music out there, so I think the more that you can engulf yourself in and not just trying to limit yourself into playing. I'm playing these sorts of gigs. I'm playing these sorts of gigs. Just playing everything. So
yeah. I'm just going to... opportunity, really.
Yeah, exactly. Every opportunity, as you said, every gig is like another doorway, another sort of step in the right direction. And like you might go to a gig and there'll be 50 people, and you might... if you connect with them really intimately, like, those 50 people are going to really connect with you, and you're going to sort of build a fan base, which is like you sort of get to know, and you get to see what type of people your music's connecting with, and seeing if that's sort of having a change on them, and playing to new people as well. I've never really ventured over to Sydney or over the eastern states with my music before, so that should be really... I've played a lot of gigs on the west coast and down south, but venturing new territories are always good. You're like sharing what you love and your passion with other people, and people that you might not have met or might not have connected with without that. So I think it's just one step at a time, and like I'm really just sort of cracking into the start of a career in the music industry, and I think every step in the right direction. So yeah, should be interesting. Hopefully go surfing over there and that. But yeah, it's sort of a weird time. It's been a sort of challenging in writing the EP, because I changed literally overnight what I was doing about 2 months ago, and wrote 10 new songs in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
3-4 weeks. So, which has sort of been a theme in the writing of the EP. So it'll be like 4 or 5 tracks, and there is a general theme of a real change in direction of me as a person, me stylistically,
yeah.
Which is sort of underlying in that. And it's a bit... I don't really know what's going to come of it stylistically, and should be interesting.
Yeah. Sure, and what's your EP going to be about?
So it's going to be about... So the general thing... general like direction is sort of finding myself,
yeah,
and finding what I sort of want my music to become, and in the way of what I want to write about, what I want to express, what I want to sound like. So and I think that's something that just happens. I might get this, do this EP and then do another one, and it might be a bit, might change from this time to that time, but being such a distinct change in direction this time, I think it's sort of allowed me to become more myself. I was like trying to follow other paths, which I was enjoying, but it might not have, it wasn't really where my heart really was.
Yeah.
So I think that like the sort of underlying theme of the EP is finding myself and finding what I want to be now, and what I want to be if I see myself 10 years in the future, and like what I want to be playing with, who I want to be playing to, what my intentions are, and obviously the best intentions for myself at the start, and then for other people as well, like for audiences and for what I can do with my music to make it manipulate and put ideas in other people's minds, I suppose.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome, mate. Well, thanks so much. This, I really, really appreciate it.
It's been good, man.
Cheers, big fella.
No worries.
Thank you very much for listening to the second episode of Van Chats. For more information about Clay, be sure to check him out on his social channels listed below. If you have any questions for either of us, be sure to flick us a message. I'm always up for a chat. Join me again next week when I talk to Gareth Chantikumar about the Om Shanti Foundation and helping families that have been torn apart by the civil war in the northern villages of Sri Lanka. I'm Tom Walker. Thanks for listening.